All right, what's up, guys? Welcome to Overcompetitive Bystanders. We got some football for you this week.
Yeah, we're really excited. We've got some NFL, some college football. There's been a lot going on recently. We're not going to do too much of, like, reviewing last week. I really enjoyed all the games that I watched. I thought they were all pretty entertaining. They're closer than some of them I thought they would be. Some of them were bigger blowouts than I thought they would be. I'm looking at you, FSU. But, I mean, overall, it was a good weekend.
I literally spent 12 hours just sitting on my couch watching college football on Saturday. I
loved it. I was not allowed to. I had to go to a play.
This is why you don't get married.
I saw The Little Mermaid on Saturday night during the BYU game.
Oh, what a good game to miss, though.
Well, I mean, I only missed the first half. I saw the second half.
It wasn't a super great game.
No, it was okay. So just to get into it, we're going to talk a little bit about NFL first. Our topic of the day is poor refereeing. And, oh boy, why did Antonio Brown get a flag for twerking?
See, this is ridiculous to me because these guys are entertainers. I think the fact that any player can get flagged for over-celebration is ridiculous. I mean, I think to a certain extent, if it's taking too long, throw a delay of game flag. There should be no excessive celebration because of what they did.
I understand the rule of no props.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
No props is fair.
Sure.
I think it's fair to say no, like, interacting with fans. Like, well, with the exception of, like, a Lambo leap type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can't, like, pull a fan out of the stands and, like, ride it like a donkey or anything. Like, that's excessive.
Right, and... yeah, but here's my biggest issue with the Antonio Brown thing, right? They called it sexually suggestive, and I believe he got fined for it. I'm pretty sure at least one point during this game they showed probably a Viagra commercial and probably a Cialis commercial. You know, that super creepy commercial with the old lady sitting in a bathtub with their dude kind of just like staring at her like a creep. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they showed those commercials, and those are fine. But him twerking after he scored a touchdown, that's too much, man.
Yep. I agree. I think it's a joke. And, I mean, the joke that people have been making is that it was the three-pump rule. Like, you are allowed two pumps.
Two pumps.
But the third pump is where they throw the flag. And that's a Key and Peele skit, really entertaining if you ever want to watch it. But... I mean, actually, like, if you look, it was legitimately, like, on the third pump that the ref reached for the flag. And it was like, that's the rule. He knew that he got two pumps. He did too many, and that's it.
Yeah, I was watching it, and I literally said three-pump rule as he pumped the third time. It was hilarious. But the other issue I have with excessive celebration is sack celebrations. These guys work all year for something like the top end get around 7 to 8 sacks, right? I mean, I'm not talking like the best of the best, but like if you're in the top 20% style, you get a sack maybe 7 times a year.
Yeah. Like, that's
why should you not be able to celebrate that?
Yeah.
Usually it's a huge game changer or at least a drive changer where you've now made a second and short to a third and long or what have you, you know?
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
And I think, honestly, it's fair that if you're doing a dance after, who cares? If you're then, like, dancing on top of the quarterback and doing inappropriate gestures and you're flipping off the crowd, there's a line. If nothing you're doing is in any way offensive or at any way violent, what does it matter?
And again, if he's going too long, throw the delay of game flag.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I wasn't very happy with it. But, I mean, that's the fine. I think Antonio Brown doesn't really care. The Steelers didn't end up paying much of a price with that penalty. So it wasn't a big deal, but it was stupid.
I think just overall the refs have done a very poor job. First had the Center Michigan game that was complete blunder. Now it comes out the NFL is admitting that in the week 1 Jacksonville v Green Bay Packers there was 16 15 different calls that went against the Jacksonville Jaguars that maybe shouldn't have, including one defensive hold that would have given them a first and goal at the end instead of their fourth and one that they didn't get and henceforth lost the game.
Yeah, and I think I'm fine with the NFL coming out and saying, like, we made bad calls, because it's like the NBA does with their two-minute report. Right. Basically, if in an NBA game, if it's within a certain score, they do a two-minute report, and they say if the calls were correct or incorrect, if there were missed calls, if they're incorrect, like everything, which is good. And the NBA or the NFL did something similar where they came out and said 16 bad calls. I don't like that they came out and said 16. Like, I think they should have just come out and said there were quite a few or there were a lot of missed calls. Because I think it's more respectable for them to come out and say there were a lot of missed calls. Because for some people, a lot of missed calls, they could look at that and be like, wow, there's like probably six or seven. And they're not lying. But at the same time, they're not completely discrediting this entire refereeing crew and saying like, yep, they did a terrible job. And I think, yeah, they did a bad job. But I don't think they needed to say 16. They could have even said over 10.
Yeah. Fine. Here's the thing. No ref is perfect.
Yeah.
They're going to miss calls.
Yeah.
It happens. But 16, I think, is ridiculous.
I agree.
And I think that might have been the reason why. I think if it had been slightly lower, they might have said there's quite a few calls. But the fact that there was 16, they might have wanted to emphasize this game wasn't reffed very well this week.
True. Very, very true. But yeah, I just – and I don't know. Like, with a lot of the NFL games, I haven't watched much NFL this season, but I think it has been poor. But with a lot of the college games I've watched this year, it's been pretty similar. And, yeah, there are some calls that are questionable that go one way or another. Right. And whether you like that it went that way or the other is on you. Because if it's – I'm going to quote somebody here. If it's, quote, by the book, it's not, quote, ridiculous to call that on you. I'm sorry. I'm looking at you, specific fan base that I'm not going to mention today. But yeah, it's not, quote, ridiculous to call it, quote, by the book. One person saying both of those. But I honestly think it's – like, there's been a lot of issues. Like, we were watching the Utah State, Arkansas State, and I think there weren't too many calls that you flat out looked at and said, what the – how did he call that? But there were a lot that they didn't call.
There was a lot of times Arkansas State players hit us way after the play.
Oh, yeah. And I think there were – I mean, there was obviously times that Utah State did the same, and I felt like they just needed to call it in general.
They should have called it early.
Yeah.
The problem was is that early there was some hits that I think it was Arkansas State, but I'm biased.
Yeah.
I think there was some hits late, and they didn't throw a flag. They didn't do – I don't even see them pull them aside and say, knock it off.
Say no. Yeah. I think –
So it got out of control.
There are a lot of times when you look at it, and honestly, most of them, even though I feel like the majority were more Arkansas State – there were certain Utah State ones.
Right.
I would have had no issue if they would have just thrown a flag on both players because they're going to cancel each other out. Distance-wise, it's not going to do anything. But it lets the players know you're not going to let that slide.
There's a few that I'm like, okay, whatever. They're a little agitated. Mm-hmm. There was one play where both teams literally threw punches at each other.
Yeah, there were punches thrown. And we were sitting there like, how are they not calling this?
Like, I would understand.
Right there.
Flags on both sides, offsetting. But you have to do something there.
That's how a fight starts.
That's how a brawl starts.
Yeah.
That's how benches get emptied and a brawl starts.
Looking at you, specific fan base that had a brawl recently. But I don't know. It's ridiculous. I think that, there are issues there. The other thing is there's been a couple issues recently with refs calling where the player dropped the ball across, like as he was crossing the plane. But at the same time, the players have dropped the ball and they've called it too. So Cal has come up with a new rule that all of their players have to hand the ball to the official before they can do like any celebration, which I think is smart. I think it works. I mean, you're not losing anything by doing that.
But I think we have a much funner option.
Yeah. So the thing came up that you're losing swag if you hand the ball to the official, because apparently there's a lot of swag in dropping the ball at the goal line.
I don't know.
I'm not a person with a lot of swag. I wouldn't know.
I don't know how much swag there is about potentially losing your team a touchdown just to look kind of cool, I guess. I don't know.
So we decided on the best way to lose your team a touchdown, and you will gain so much swag. And we were thinking about the perfect scenario where, say, your team is playing against a rival and you're up by a touchdown. There's like 10 seconds left in the game. You run in for an easy touchdown, but right before you run in for that touchdown with like a couple seconds left on the clock, you don't just drop the ball at the half-yard line. You shoot a three-pointer.
You post up, shoot it through that field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, it's an illegal pass.
Yeah, it's not a fumble.
It's not a fumble through the back. Like,
it wouldn't be a touchback.
I'm sure said fan base would argue that our team fumbled and it should be a touchback. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's an illegal forward pass. It's a 5-yard penalty from the spot of the foul and a loss of downs.
So you would then just have with like a – and the clock wouldn't stop until the ball hits the ground.
Right.
So you take a high arcing three.
Right.
I mean, you're taking some, you're shooting over a 10-footer there. And so you like the ball hits the ground maybe with a second or two left. You take a 5-yard penalty. You're still up by a touchdown, and then you just kick a field goal in.
Yeah.
And that you clinch it, you still win, and that player goes down in history as the player with the most swag ever. There's no one that can top him ever because of what he just did. And there's some like rivalry games this week that I'm looking at, like Florida-Tennessee. If there was a Florida player to do that, he would be hated in the entire state of Tennessee and beloved in the entire state of Florida. Like, I think Florida State fans and everyone in the world would just be like, yeah, he's cool. We love him.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So the most memorable dropped ball play I've ever seen is DeSean Jackson on the Eagles. His first touchdown ever, he drops the ball right before the end zone. And I'm pretty sure the other team recovered the ball, if I remember correctly.
My favorite one was the Utah one that was like 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Against Oregon. Utah player gets this big breakaway, like wide open touchdown, like looked like nobody was covering him, just gets a touchdown. Right as he's crossing the goal line, he drops the ball. Oregon picks up the ball, runs it back for a touchdown.
Huge.
All
swing.
Of Utah. Yeah, Utah was like this huge underdog in this game. They were up by a touchdown. This would have put them up two touchdowns. And all of a sudden, it's a tie game.
Such a Utah game.
Yeah, it was like the most like disappointing thing. And it's just the simple fact that you have to have that swag. Yeah. And I think at that point, even the swag of shooting the three-pointer would have been so much better. Like, hey, we're 15-point underdogs in this game. We're only up by a touchdown. It's the first quarter. I'm shooting a three-pointer. Like, I think it would be really entertaining to do that to, like, Duke or North Carolina or Kentucky. Yeah. And just be like, yeah, we got basketball swag too. Like we can beat you guys. And have it be like, if your student section is like right behind the field goal post, have like some player, like some fan just make his arms into a hoop and just make it into there. That would just be legendary. It would be amazing.
Yeah. But speaking of DeSean Jackson getting into the NFL, our first game of the week that we wanted to talk about was the Redskins at the Giants. Redskins have been pretty disappointing thus far. They've had some close games against some pretty good teams. But they started 0-2, and Giants are 2-0, looking pretty good. But it is that divisional matchup. And then the NFC East, you never know what's going to happen. That division is like Pac-12 after dark.
Yeah, like that's true.
So I think this will be an exciting game, and I think it's the first game that the Redskins could come out and win it. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think they're going to be looking for a win, and I think they're going to try and do it against this Giants team. Not that they weren't trying to do it against, you know, the Steelers or the Cowboys, but
yeah. I think the Giants are going to look really good. I know that the Redskins are going to do well. I think the Giants are a lot better team. And it's not so much that the Redskins are bad. I kind of think that they're bad, but I just think the Giants have a much better put together team, better coached, better everything, and they'll do well.
Here's why the Giants are going to win this game, and I'll tell you why. They're better at basically every position. Quarterback, Eli Manning is better than Kirk Cousins.
What?
Star wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr. is better than DeSean Jackson or Pierce Garçon, whoever you want to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense, overall, the Giants is better. I'm going to say Josh Norman is probably the best defensive player in this game.
Yeah.
Real side note real quick on Josh Norman. I feel...
He's not doing well.
If you are going to be the self-proclaimed best cornerback in the league, you have to be able to cover both sides of the field. They got creamed by the Steelers because Antonio Brown was allowed to line up on the other side of the field against their not-so-good cornerback, and they could do this short third down play where they're like, well, we're going to either hand it off to D'Angelo Williams, or we're going to just throw it deep to Antonio Brown, and he's going to beat the defender every single time.
And just to let you know, them allowing that also allowed me to beat you in fantasy football.
Yes, it did, including a garbage time 20-point catch from Antonio Brown that he didn't need. They could have ran out the clock, but they were like, I know somebody out there is up 0.5 points and is going to die when Antonio Brown catches this ball. Yep. And I did.
Yep, that was true.
I'm sorry to the girls next door for the obscenities I shouted because I can't imagine you didn't hear me.
Yeah, but, it's probably true.
Real quick, we both say the Giants are going to win this one.
Mm-hmm. I don't even think it's too debatable there. I think it's going to be pretty easy. No. So the next one we want to talk about is Steelers-Eagles. So one thing really I think that's important, Carson Wentz, this is really his first big test. He's had tests. He's had stuff. But I think this is the one that really shows, is he great this season, or is it just that he has the potential to be great in the future?
So here's the thing with Carson Wentz. I have to say, as an LA Rams fan, he has only played against the Browns and the Bears to start off, and people are like, oh, he's looking like a professional quarterback. He's
looking better than all of the Rams quarterbacks.
Yeah, Jared Goff has yet to take the field.
So he looks better than him.
Yeah, but here's what I want to say. Just because a player looks really good in their first two games against garbage teams doesn't mean the LA Rams screwed up by picking Goff.
They did.
I think they might have, but you can't say within the first two professional games where one hasn't even taken the field yet that they aren't, that one is better than the other. So many super great quarterbacks have either like not really played in their rookie season. I'm looking at you, Tom Brady, one of the best ever, or have had subpar first season, such as Troy Aikman and a couple others that I'm blanking on.
So Carson Wentz just joined. So he's the fifth rookie quarterback to win the first two games of the season.
Okay, but that's the Browns and the Bears.
But he joins John Elway.
Right.
Joe Flacco.
Okay.
Mark Sanchez. And Ryan Leaf.
Oh, boy. That is a group I want to be a part of.
That is the widest variety that you can ever have. You can have Ryan Leaf, arguably the biggest first-round bust ever, and John Elway, one of the best quarterbacks ever. Like, he can literally land anywhere, and he doesn't fall outside of the spectrum.
Or you could have Mark Sanchez kind of on, like, the lower bottom with the butt fumble.
And also, you can have Joe Flacco, who's good. And, like, he's really good. He's a good quarterback.
He's, like, tier two, top of tier two, like, every year. Like,
I agree with that.
He's never the best quarterback in the league, but he's never subpar unless he's injured.
So he can either be worst in the league, pretty bad in the league, pretty good in the league, or the best in the league. The possibilities are limitless right now, Carson Wentz. Yeah. We want to see what you do.
All right. And then really quickly, the other game we picked for NFL, Jets at Chiefs.
Who do you have winning this, Steelers-Eagles?
Oh, sorry. I have the Steelers winning.
You have the Steelers? Okay. I got the Eagles.
Okay, that's exciting. We have dissenting opinions.
Yeah, we're probably just... I might just be doing that because I don't like the Steelers.
But, again, I predicted the Steelers to go to the Super Bowl this year, so I can't imagine the Eagles slowing them down on that fight.
That's true.
So, back Jets at Chiefs. With the Denver Broncos doing much better than I expected them to, Trevor Siemian. I tried not to say Siemian. Trevor Siemian came out and surprised everybody, did super great. Their defense has looked just as good. CJ Anderson is doing well, which I didn't think he would. Devontae Booker is picking up some pretty good yardage after for that first touch fumble.
Yep.
Like, he's not right now, they're looking to take over their division again.
Yep.
So with that, the Chiefs are probably going to be fighting for a wild card spot in not only their division with the Oakland Raiders, but in their conference against the Jets and the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
And so this game could potentially be pretty big come the end of the season.
Yeah.
So that's why I picked this one. Not that I think it's going to be an especially good game, but I mean, the Jets games have been super exciting thus far, and the Chiefs have gone down early and tried to mount and come back in both games. And they did it well against San Diego.
Yeah. Or so who do you got?
Texans, whichever it was. I have the Jets.
Okay. We have differing opinions again.
Woo.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the fact that in my mind, the Jets are not good. Like, I can watch Jets games and I can be like, oh, yeah, like, look, they're doing well. But somehow in my brain, it's just always like, eh, the Jets aren't any good.
I think this is the first season that I was like, holy crap, the Jets are actually pretty good. Like, don't get me wrong, they're not going to go and make a deep playoff run and take the Super Bowl or anything. But they will steal games and will look good. Yep. They'll probably be the wild card, I'm pretty sure. And they could win that wild card game.
I could see them making a wild card. I think it's... I can see them making the playoffs, but for some reason, I just can't see... Like, whenever I see them playing against a team that I view as a good team, I'm just like, no, they won't. They're the Jets. Butt fumble.
Sure, but the Chiefs haven't looked great, especially without Jamal Charles and Charchandrick West.
Say that again?
I can't, because I'll say it differently every time. That's
fine. Charchandrick West?
I mean, not to say Spencer Ware hasn't looked good, but...
Yeah, I agree. They haven't quite been where they need to be, but... So now we're going to talk a little bit of college football. We're going to kick it off with what I think is one of the betters. Like, if you're a better, bet on this game, because I think this is like one, like a great opportunity to win money. USC Utah. Utah is a 3-point favorite in said game, and that is ridiculously low in my mind.
You think Utah's going to cream USC?
Not cream, but win. And by more than 3 points. I think putting the betting at 3 is kind of insulting to Utah.
What have they done this season that's especially good?
They've won every game they've played.
Sure, against SUU. BYU, I'll give them that one, but yeah. It was by an ugly, ugly game.
Yeah, but their defense looks good.
Their defense does look good. And then San Jose State, who's a joke.
Yeah, and I think the fact that Utah's defense looks good is the key. Because you can't win a game if you don't score. And that's why I don't think USC wins. Their offense has not looked very good. They have, I guess they're, so their second string quarterback is going to start this week.
Which I think is an overreaction, but we can talk about that
after. Which I think will help lead to the fact that if you don't score, you won't win. So I don't think USC scores very much. I don't think Utah puts a lot on the board. But I think it's, you know, Utah puts a reasonable amount, you know, 20 points-ish. And I think USC maybe gets a touchdown.
Okay.
Maybe they only get a field goal. And so I think that's ridiculous. One thing that I think is interesting, USC, one of their true freshman linemen that's getting good playing time, just flew home to Georgia and said, I'm transferring to Georgia, and now he is not with the team.
Oh, geez.
That is a perfect compare. That just says how well USC is doing this season.
Like, or how well Georgia's doing.
Yeah, and apparently they're also losing, like, a lot of recruits are saying, like, you know.
Well, their coaching staff has looked abysmal for the past few years. This team full of talent hasn't been able to win.
Yeah.
But I'll say I do think Utah will win this game.
Okay.
I do not think 3 points is ridiculous when it comes to a Pac-12 matchup.
Okay.
Or a USC team that has faced two really tough teams and Utah State.
Yep.
So I do think Utah does win, but more than 3, but I don't think putting the line at 3 is ridiculous.
Okay. So the next game we're going to talk about is Wisconsin, Michigan State. Wrong MSU in my mind.
Yep.
So it's at Michigan State. Michigan State, these rankings might be wrong. I'm going off of a different ranking system. But Michigan State's the 8. Wisconsin is the 11. And Michigan State is a 5.5-point favorite. Wow. There you go. Say that 5 times fast.
So Michigan State is 8 and Wisconsin is 11. Is that what you said?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Cool. So college football subreddit, they did their, like, people's subreddit, and that's where they ended up. So they ended up basically the same.
That's pretty cool.
But they have Utah at 21, so a little bit better for Utah. But with said ranking, Michigan State at 8, I still feel is kind of underranked. I think it's – like, I'm trying to think of, like, how I could put them higher, and I'm not really seeing how I can put them higher, but I think that they're a better team. I think they'll
end up higher.
Yeah, okay.
I think is the way to say it. I think they'll end up higher.
Okay.
But yeah, I look at it, and I look at these teams. Let me pull it up real quick. And you have Stanford, Houston, Clemson, Michigan, Louisville, and Ohio State, and Alabama in front of them.
Okay.
It's the only team I could argue is maybe Stanford.
Yeah.
And maybe you could just say, Clemson, you looked kind of abysmal in the first half of your game. We're just going to knock you down to 8.
Yeah, Clemson hasn't been super impressive, so I could see Michigan State above Clemson, but it's arguable.
I think they could end up there, but I don't think you can knock Clemson down that far unless they keep these games close.
Yeah,
or if they do actually lose.
One of the things
I do think they will.
Like, although I like Wisconsin, I don't think they're the number 11 team in the country. I think they're a good team. I think they're maybe 15. But I do not think that they're number 11. I think the rankings right now is closer. I'm taking the over on that 5.5. I think Michigan State probably wins by 10, maybe a touchdown, but kind of that general area. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, yeah, I haven't been overly impressed by Wisconsin. Their big win was over an LSU team that has looked not that good the rest of the year.
Right.
And so I think it's going to be like, yeah, they're both good teams. And I think it's going to be competitive. It's going to be close.
Right.
But I do think Michigan State pulls it out.
I think Michigan State wins, but I think it's going to be closer than that 5.5.
Okay.
I think it's going to be within 5.5 points.
Okay.
Or within 5.5 points before a garbage time TD.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah.
Okay. So the next game we're going to talk about is the Florida-Tennessee. Tennessee starts as a 6.5-point favorite. And I guess 6.5-point favorite would be an easier way to say that, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
But I just think – so Tennessee hasn't beaten Florida in 12 years. I'm not picking Tennessee in that game. They can't beat them.
Well, Tennessee hasn't looked good against these teams that they should be dominating.
Yeah.
Last week they looked decent against their opponent, but I just think Florida is going to be too much for them.
Yeah. I think Tennessee ranked at 12, again, too high. I think Florida ranked at 19, maybe a little low. Maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
And I think with the fact that it's a rivalry game, it's going to be really close. Rivalry games, anybody can come out the winner. That's the main thing. You never know. You can have a team that sucks and a team that's really good, and there can be an upset because it's a rivalry game.
We see that quite a lot with BYU versus Utah, except for the past 7 years.
Yeah. You look at it honestly, you look at 2012 Utah State, Utah probably had the better team,
right?
But it was a rivalry game. Utah State had a good team and they pulled out the win. I think 2012 BYU Utah State, I honestly think Utah State had the better team. BYU rivalry game came out with the win. That's what happens in rivalry games. You really can't say who's going to win it until it happens. 2014 BYU Utah State, number 18 ranked, undefeated BYU, 2-2 Utah State. Utah State comes out with the win. You never know. But I do think with how Florida just has Tennessee's number, and just over the recent years, Florida has looked better, and Tennessee has seemed really overhyped this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be good. If I was a bettor, I would bet the under, because even if Tennessee does win, I don't see them winning by 7. No. I definitely see Florida winning that one.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Florida wins this game, and I don't think it's going to be pretty for Tennessee. It might be close. I don't think it'll be pretty. I don't think they'll look very good.
Yeah. So the next one we have is Utah State Air Force. Air Force opens at a 3-point favorite over Utah State, which I think is fair. Air Force is undefeated. Utah State is 2-1, with one really bad loss and two wins. Whether they be, they are wins, and that is all I am referring to them as.
Yes.
But I don't know. I've been really disappointed in Utah State this year. Like, looking at it, like, obviously, as a fan, I always get, like, overhyped, and I have this idea that we're going to come out and be just stellar. But honestly, like, I don't like Kent Myers very much.
No, where is the Kent Myers of last year that both of me and you were asking to be put on the field? He looked like a leader. He looked confident. He could throw the ball. He looked like he could run. Yep. Where is that Kent Myers? I haven't seen him in almost 10 months. He hasn't thrown very many great passes. He's had a few good runs against some mediocre defenses. But he just doesn't look like Kent Myers of last year. And I'm honestly really sad that Hobbs has come in and only done run plays. Yep. We have, so apparently he can't throw it all.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm seeing from the coaching staff. They have no faith in Hobbs' arm. None. Because he never throws it.
Because he comes out, and if you've studied our tape at all, Hobbs has not thrown a pass.
Yeah, like, so I'm going to look it up right now, but I'm pretty safe to say that he just doesn't throw.
They might ever. Have had, I think they had one trick play last year where, like, Hobbs lined up as QB and Kent Myers was, like, lined up as a wide receiver, and he threw it to Kent Myers in a backwards pass, and then he and Kent Myers tried to throw it.
So in 2015, Damien Hobbs went 4-for-5 on passing plays for one touchdown and 73 yards.
Respectable.
Whole season, 5 passes. This year, I haven't seen a pass from him at all. Maybe I just missed a play or something, but I'm just like, what are you doing? Let's see. I'm double checking it. So for this season, he has 2 attempted passes. Both were against USC. Neither were completed. So, okay. On his career, he is 4-for-7. That doesn't give me much faith. I kind of want to see maybe more from him. Like, he could still be really good. I want to see Myers throw well. And Coach Wells, I really hope you're listening to this. I imagine you listen to it every week. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't. Right. But can we run the ball a little bit more?
Can we, if we're going to pass forward and not laterally every single play? Or even run up the middle? Maze is a really good runner who can run through people.
Mm-hmm.
He's not great. If you try and run him through the corner, he runs over people and then gets a burst of speed. He's not much.
He's a train. He's a train. He doesn't make cuts as much. He just gets rolling.
That's my biggest issue this year. Is as bad as Myers has looked, our play calling has looked worse.
Yep.
We have tried to run laterally and pass the ball laterally way too much. So either they have exactly zero confidence in both of our QBs to throw downfield, which is possible because Kent Myers has looked abysmal.
Yep.
Or they're just gonna play it safe or whatever. I don't know. We almost lost against Arkansas State because we quote unquote needed to play it safe.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that I haven't seen a killer instinct from this team, and I haven't seen a killer instinct from Matt Wells in a while. Like that point where you're just like up and you just keep going. You just keep running it. You just keep like you look at Ohio State and Michigan. When they're up by 40, they don't change their game plan. They put their subs in, but they run the same plays. I feel like we keep our starters in and run like less aggressive, which is weird because I'm looking back at past games and I'm like, we're lucky that team kind of gave up as much as we stopped, because there's a lot of games where maybe we were up by two touchdowns and maybe three, and we kind of just took our foot off the gas and we coasted a victory, and we won by two touchdowns and we were fine. But
should we have,
and could the other team have come back? And I think if I'm a coach that's coaching against Utah State at halftime, I'm giving the speech of these guys stop playing in the second half when they're up, which may or may not be true, but it helps your team keep going.
It's definitely been shown to be true in the only game this year where we are up against a semi-mediocre, not very good team. We almost lost to Arkansas State because we didn't just like throttle back. We basically hit the brakes. Yep. Like we were like, oh, we're up by 24. We're just going to run it. We're going to run out three quarters of clock.
Yep.
No, that's not how you play football.
Yep.
And it's, I'm actually okay if you want to do that up 24 points.
Yeah.
But the minute it becomes a two-possession game, you turn it back on.
And, yeah, and, like, there were some fans in the student section that, like, they got a touchdown, and so it was then, like, 24-7, mm-hmm. and they were like, oh, big deal. And I was like, you do realize this game is not the blowout you're thinking it is. Like, at 20, I think it was, no, it was 20-7 is what it was at the time. And they were like, oh, ha, ha, ha. And it was ridiculous.
At 24-17, heard people in the stands cheering scoreboard.
Yeah.
7 points is not something you can cheer scoreboard about. We no longer have a lead big enough to yell scoreboard. Yeah. We have given up a 24-0 lead.
Yeah, that's true. And so I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. Also, and like, I really like, this was something that was bothering me during the game, and it's bothered me for a little bit. Guys, don't complain about the refs too much. There are bad calls, and there are bad calls on both sides. And just because there were a couple of bad calls on one specific player doesn't mean that every single time there's a pass, you need to yell and get mad. Get mad if there's a bad call when there's a bad call. You don't need to yell every single play because of it.
If you're going to boo a ref, make sure you, one, understand the rules,
yep.
and two, know for a fact that they are wrong.
Yeah.
Because both of us were very upset on a few where the refs were getting booed by at least half of the student section that were very good calls, that if they had happened on the inverse and not thrown a flag, you would have been booing.
Yeah, or at least
do not be BYU. I hate to say their name by name, but they are the team that does that, not us. Please, God, don't be stupid fans.
Yeah, I agree.
Dear God, please don't.
I agree. We cannot just complain about calls that don't go our way. There are bad calls, and that's fine. But, and this goes to anyone and everyone, be an informed fan. Don't complain about calls that are even questionable. Like, there was one, honestly, on Dallin Leavitt that he got two pass interference calls that I probably wouldn't have called myself.
The first one was complete bullpucky. I'm okay booing that one.
Yeah.
He got there cleanly. Yeah. But the second
one... it's iffy. At the right angle, the ref could see it and say, yeah, Leavitt hit him early. Which, it's an angle thing. And they both got there about the same time. I don't think it should have been a penalty.
Yeah, I think they both had the right to be there, but...
But guess what? Refs are humans and they make mistakes. That's part of the thing. Is it bad that they make mistakes? Sure. Do we need to get mad at a ref for making what he thought was the correct call on what really could go either way? No. Please, be good fans. Be informed. Don't be a blindly biased fan in any reffing situation. Like,
or any situation regardless. Don't be a blindly ignorant.
Yeah, never say, you know what? I'm just going to argue it because I'm going to argue it. Because it was against my team, so I have the right to argue it. No. Argue it if it's wrong. Argue it if it's blatantly wrong. Like, for example, we both agreed that the Antonio Brown thing was stupid.
And
We both agreed.
However, I think that's by the book, so I wouldn't argue that you can boo that.
Yeah. I just think it's ridiculous it's in the book. Yeah, that's how I feel. There's certain things that are in the book that I don't agree with. Argue with the book. Don't boo the ref. He's doing his job. That's all it is. All
right.
It's so simple. So now for the prediction for this week. I have trouble picking Utah State in this one. It's a close one. Here's my thing. If our play calling is good, if we can establish a run, we'll be okay. We need to have longer drives because what's happening is our defense is getting worn down, and that's why they're allowing longer drives later in the game.
Right.
So I'm going to say we start running the ball a little bit more. We start having longer drives. Our defense starts getting more breaks. Our defense is fresh. In that case, I think we beat Air Force. And that's – I'm picking us beating Air Force because I'm going to say that that's what's going to happen. If we do not have prolonged drives, our defense is going to get tired and Air Force is going to beat us. But I hope we have prolonged drives.
I'm going to say this. I think if both teams bring their best team to the field, Utah State takes this game away. However, they have shown all three games that they cannot do that. And because of that, I don't think in a week they can fix that. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to say I think Air Force takes this game away. And I don't think I want to be in the stands to watch this game. I don't think it's going to be a fun game to watch for Utah State.
I think we'll keep it close. I don't think it'll be a blowout, even if we lose. If we win, either. I think this is going to be, honestly, a really entertaining game. I think it's going to be really close. I think it's going to be really fun. I'm going to give the homecoming factor, like, a big part of it.
Okay.
Because I think home teams play better on homecoming. If you look at us last year against Colorado State, I think it was kind of similar where it was kind of 50-50. We beat them by 15. And I think I'm gonna lean on that a little bit, hoping that the fact that we're playing Air Force, the fact that our student section is already selling out of tickets, I'm going to say our fans at least are really supportive that day of. Hopefully we have a packed stadium for the first time this season, and we'll see what happens. But I'm leaning towards, I'm like 52% Utah State, like 48% Air Force.
Okay.
Which for all we know, that could be the score. 52-48, Utah State wins. Running attacks.
That'd be pretty cool.
Both teams are running base teams.
All right. I think with that, that's a great end to our show. So thanks for listening. Check us out next week. You can find us at, if you're listening to us, you know where to find us.
Yeah.
But you can find us on Twitter at @competitiveUSU. And we do check that, and we would love some input from our fans, because if not, we probably aren't going to continue the show. But if we do a show next week, I really think we're going to talk about targeting, because that's a subject we're both very, very passionate about.
And yeah, we could just do a show on targeting. Ignore all other sports. And yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We love you. Bye.